Well, I started as a trainee in 1958, straight from school, and I stayed there till I finished my traineeship, which was 1964. In that time, I went to college in London, to the London School of Print, and I also had a lot of training at Broadwater Press itself. I started off working in the office as a paper buyer with the paper, the guy there that was a paper buyer. I worked with his assistant. But then I had to go around to all the different departments, and I started going into the paper warehouse department. That was quite labour intensified then. There was no forklift trucks. Broadwater Press had no forklift trucks. They had nowhere to store the paper because the whole factory was full of machinery of one sort or another. So what they actually did, they rented one of the two Nissen huts down on where the golf course is now off of Ascot's Lane. So quite often we had a lorry would come to us, and if we didn't need it, we had to ask them to go down there.
Yes.
Then we would go down. There was two guys in the paper department plus me who was in their training, and all the paper was packed in 500 sheets.
Right.
And we used to offload it all by hand. You know, there could be probably 200 or 300 parcels, 200 or 300 packets.
Yes.
Virtually every day.
Yes.
Some more than others. I mean, if it was a small quantity of, say, you know, 2 or 3 packets, there was a place in the factory where they would keep for smaller jobs. But if it was a big job coming in, then the material would probably end up down there, unless it was going to go on the machine in the next couple of days.
Yes.
Otherwise, they had to stack them in the factory around the machines and had to keep wheeling it all around.
Yes.
To make room.
Gosh, that must have been difficult.
So it was yes. Well, we never had any rolling stocks as much as that now then.
Right.
It all came in sheets.
Flat pack,
packs. Probably in 125s, but me being a small apprentice, normally the packs were bigger than me.
Yes.
So I used to stagger around.
Develop the muscles.
So, yeah, there was one good thing about it. I learnt to drive them because they had a little van that I used to run around in, and I had to drive it down to the warehouse. So that got me into driving. That's how I learnt to drive. Yes, that was, I suppose, the first couple of years I was there, I was involved in that and on the bindery side of things.
And what did that involve?
There was machinery there for stitching, trimming, and I did go on a course in Watford, which was bookbinding and warehouse work.
Right.
And I did do a bit of bookbinding by hand because we did have several ladies there then that used to still bind books by hand. So they had the old glue pots going, things, and they used to do, and you know, special editions and things like that wanted doing. And also gold blocking, which was doing all the gold lettering on the spines of the books and that sort of thing. And I went to college and learnt all that.
Although, did you find that interesting?
I did.
Hmm.
But I never actually worked at it at all.
Oh. yes.
I got involved in other parts of... I did go round all of the factory eventually and start from the beginning with the order clerk in where the job come in and you put the job in hand and put it through the factory.
Yes.
So I got a sort of basis of everything in print, and I did a general print course as well.
And
so
the apprenticeship was spread over 6 years?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, 20... I was 15 when I started and finished in 21 when I was 21.
Right. yes. And what was your impression going in 15 to the factory?
I was frightened. Quite frightened with all the machinery.
Yes, it sounds as though it was quite concentrated.
Yes.
Was it noisy?
Very noisy, yeah. I'd never experienced anything like that before.
No.
There was a lot of guillotines, and that where I was working.
Right.
And they were the old type with the flywheels and the belts. So you had to be very careful you didn't get too close to them.
Not health and safety weren't particularly.
And there was long rows of stitching machines where they weren't automatic, so the women sat in rows all the way along the side of the machine and put each section over the chain that come along.
Right.
And then it gathered them all at the end and then stitched them.
Goodness, that must have been quite interesting to watch.
Oh yeah, there was no guards or safety or anything
in
it.
So yes.
You could easily put your finger in the chain or get your finger stitched.
Were there any accidents while she was there?
One or two, but not...
not serious.
Not serious. We did have one or two people with crushed fingers and things where we, you know, in the guillotines.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. Yes.
I quite liked the keyboards because they had a foundry there as well, so they used to actually melt all the lead.
Oh, right.
And that used to go into these machines where they typed it all out.
Yeah.
And each row would come out on a shelf.
Right.
So the whole book or the whole page of a book would come out all in type.
Right.
And then that would be tied up by the compositors.
Yes.
And then they would make them up into big forms.
Yes.
And,
I didn't realise they were doing all of that on site.
They did it all on site, yes.
Goodness,
separate rooms.
Right.
They'd have what they'd call the casters in one room where they typed it all out and that.
Yes.
There was a separate boiler room down below where they melted all the time. And then all the disused type, they would send that back to the...
recycling.
Thing, and yes, and it would all be remelted and they used to put them into blocks.
Yeah.
So then they went on to the machine and that would melt the block down as they were making the type.
Right, yes.
It was very smelly and very noisy.
And how many people approximately would there be working in the factory? And can you remember what you were paid when you first started?
£2.12 and 6 a week.
Right. And had that gone up much by the time you left?
By the time I left, I think I was on £12 a week.
Right, okay. Yes.
Tea breaks. Most of the people that worked there stayed for lunch as well. Mm. There was a little kitchen where there was a lady that cooked sort of roast dinners every day.
Ooh, yes.
So if you wanted to stay, you just put your order in that day.
Yes.
And then the apprentices, and I, including me, at, say, I think the tea break was 10.30 till 11 in the morning.
Yeah.
We have to go down at maybe 10.15 and collect a tray with a big teapot on.
Yes.
With all the cups.
And you were the ones who did the rounds.
Yeah. And we had to carry them. Well, we had a certain department to take it to. So each lot, and they all come out and help themselves to a cup of tea.
Yes. And again in the afternoon.
And again in the afternoon, yeah.
Yes.
Until 6.
Right.
With an hour for lunch.
Yes.
But only Christmas Day and Boxing Day off.
So the presses would be going?
Right up until late Christmas Eve, yeah.
Gosh,
they would still keep.
Yeah.
And it did fall once. There was a funny time where there was an extra... They decided that it wasn't worth opening for one day.
Right.
So we worked an extra hour every night for 2 weeks.
Right.
to make it up. To make up the time that we were going to close for a day over Christmas.
Yes. The majority of the work.
General letterpress printing, really. They did a bit of everything.
Yeah.
From stationery to booklets. They had a wide range of machinery, from very small machines to do business cards and letterheads on.
Yes.
Up into booklets, and they had quite a big reader section where everything was read before it was printed, obviously, and go out to customers.
Of course.
So I did a little spell in there for a while, and I quite enjoyed that as well.
Yes.
But you have to be very knowledgeable to work in there.
Sure.
It was very strong. Yes. I wasn't allowed to take a sheet of paper out of the warehouse until I was actually formally a member of the union.
Goodness.
So if I wanted a sheet, I had to go out and ask someone to get it for me until
my
membership came through. I had to join immediately. I started work.
Yes, of course.
But it took a couple of weeks, so those couple of weeks I wasn't allowed to touch anything.
Right, goodness. Yes.
When I started that time, it was letterpress was the main print system.
Mm.
But lithographic was just coming in, and they did have a small litho section.
Right.
But everyone said, it'll never work, and no one will ever take over letterpress. No, they had a maintenance guy there, and...
Was it ongoing?
He would be there all the time, yeah.
Yes.
If there was a real problem, then we'd have to call the engineers in from, like, Heidelberg's or somewhere like that.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But I mean, they had depots here, and engineers would come out.
Yes.
Just like if you had a hot point machine or something, and they'd send a breakdown or something.
Yes, but the day-to-day maintenance would be as and when.
Oh, yes. Before they started up, before the next shift started, they would always go around, oil the machines, check everything.
Yes.
And, you know, they would get a sort of quarter an hour, half an hour.
Yes.
To do all that, to make sure it was all right.
Yeah, so that was built
in. And they were all ex-apprentices who've been in print all their life. I think most. I don't think there was anyone there that hadn't done an apprenticeship.
Right.
So you could always see them walking around, wiping the machine down with their rags and things like that, always keeping it clean. And they all took pride in the machinery, you know, and they always wanted it. It was coming up to when I left school.
Oh.
And the careers officer came in one day and said, I've got a couple of jobs going. Anybody interested in being an engineer? Anybody interested in going into print? And I put my hand up and he said, right, come out here. And I just went across there and had an interview and they offered me the
and
job.
And that was it, straight, right. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, yes. Now, I was going to say there was no one in your family who'd been involved in that side.
And my father was a miner from Wales.
Oh, right. Very different then. Yeah. Yes.
So, I don't know why. I just thought, well, it sounds interesting getting a job in print.
Oh.
And I went for the interview and it sounded quite interesting. Oh. And they said they would move me around, I'd learn a bit of everything.
Yes. And were you the only apprentice starting at that time?
No, there was one other that worked with
from
me.
From your school or?
Yes, from my class.
Yes, yes. Oh, that must have helped.
Yes. He was in a different department, but we still got to see each other. And we even went to college together at one time. We had the same lessons at college.
So. Yes, yes.
So that was quite good.
From work.
Well, we were very close to the cherry tree.
Oh, yes, yes.
So now and again, if we did quite a lot of extra hours in the evening when jobs needed doing. So we would quite often have a little stroll across to the cherry tree after we'd finished.
Yes.
And have a little drink before we went home.
Yes, yes.
And we used to do that. There was a guy there who used to organise dinner dances and that for everybody. Oh. And we used to go to the Parkway restaurant up there.
Yes, I've heard very how fun. Splendid that was.
It used to be very good, yes. Yeah. Live band and everything. Yes. And so we did that. That was quite regular.
Mm.
Maybe two or three times a year, really, for dinner dance.
Christmas.
Yes.
Something formal like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can remember going there most Christmases. I think once we went down to Homestead Court Hotel.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I think
a bit further out.
Yeah,
yes.
Most of it was in the Parkway.
Yes.
We used to go every year to the printing charity. They did a show in London.
All right.
And we always organised a coach.
Yeah.
And a coach load go up to that.
And what would that be? Would that be showing new stuff or...?
It was it was normally people from shows in the West End and celebrities and that, and they would come on and do a little thing. So it was just like a variety show, really.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That sounds nice.
And it all went into the printer's benevolent fun thing for the, mainly for the convalescent home, Caxton Convalescent Home, it was mainly done for.
Yeah, yes.
So we always supported that.
Yes, of course.
It was always very good. I can remember the last one we went to, Ron Moody was the main star.
All right,
and he was brilliant. He came on and did about an hour. They couldn't get him off, I don't.
Yes, that sounds fun.
Yeah,
yes.
It was very good. When they started to pull the Nissen huts down and build the golf course, we did take a warehouse just off of Chequers a while. Because then, just after I left, they then had the new building built out of the town centre, which is over on the one-way system, which is now Poppers.
Right. Yes, yes.
So they did go there.
And was it predominantly a national market that you were delivering to within the country, or was it mainly local?
It was mainly London customers.
Okay.
That's how I learned about London as well, because the apprentices, they used to send the apprentices to London with the proofs to see customers.
Yes.
So
yes.
Quite often I would go up to London.
That must have been interesting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Especially when the smogs were on in the late
50s.
The BBC was one of Broadwater's main customers.
Okay.
They sent me up there one afternoon, and it was so bad that I couldn't even find Television House.
Really?
And I found a policeman standing in the corner, and he said he didn't know where it, couldn't tell me where it was either.
I find that so hard to imagine, goodness. I bet you were glad you were in Welwyn Garden City.
Yes. That was horrendous.
Yes. And you were living, you were closely enough to walk, to cycle to work?
I used to cycle to work, yes. Yes, I lived just off of Woodall Lane, so I just went straight down along the road really to work.
Yes.
So it was quite uneasy.
Do you remember the strike or anything like that?
Yes. They were shut for 6 or 7 weeks, I think it was, at one stage, where there was a big print strike.
When would that have been?
Must have been early 60s, I would think. Yes, it must have been the early 60s. And the only people that were allowed in were the directors and the apprentices.
Right, interesting.
So they were, so the directors ran the machines, the odd machine to finish jobs that were left.
Yes, of course. Yes,
and with the help from the apprentices.
Right.
But after a couple of weeks, that was all cleared, and there was nothing else you could really start. No. But so they had us cleaning, go on holiday towards the end of the time, and I was quite disappointed when I come back and found everybody was back at work, and they had racks and racks of type that they put away. Instead of disbanding it, put it into... it was down in the bowels of the factory, actually.
Right.
You went down some steps. No, you didn't want to go down there very often.
Really?
It was quite creepy.
Oh, right.
And there was racks and racks of type down there.
I see.
Where they used to store it until they needed it again.
Yes.
Because they knew certain jobs would come up for printing again.
Yes, of course.
So they had us down there sorting all that out for weeks on end.
Oh, that mustn't have been much fun.
It wasn't that. Lots of big spiders and cobwebs down there.
Yes.
Well, there would be one for every department. So
right.
There could be maybe up to a dozen. So if you were in one union, the other union wouldn't allow you to go into that department and touch anything.
Right.
So you had to go in there and ask them for whatever you wanted.
Yes.
And the guy from that union had to give it to you.
And did the unions agree on the big things like going on strike?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
I think that was for pay then, when they were on strike that long.
Yeah.
I think it was for more.
And did it work?
And holidays as well, I think. Increasing holidays.
Did you get more pay?
We did, yes.
Yes, right. Yes.